few movies, take a few notes.
It was fun.
And we're back. We've had a little bit of a hiatus. This is Ben and Nancy from the Extreme Horror Replay Podcast. I am Ben, and of course, sitting to my left, which would be your right if you were looking at us, is my beautiful wife, Nancy. Say hello, Nancy.
Hello, Nancy.
And like
I don't even know why you keep telling me to do that. I know nobody named Nancy.
But like I said, we are back. It has been a little bit of a break. We've had some Christmas, and we've had some New Year's, and we've had some bathroom remodeling, and
some holiday season with some home
repairs.
Home repairs.
Yeah. So, but yes, we are back, and this is episode 50. Finally, episode 50.
Episode 50.
I haven't played a sound clip in forever.
Why don't you never let me pick the sound clips?
Because none of them make any sense.
No, but...
I mean, like, disdain? Okay, I guess that one works, but...
Yeah, we need to use... You probably paid through the nose for that thing, didn't you?
I paid like $30 for the soundboard and the microphones.
Oh.
It was cheap.
Yeah, okay.
This is like a bottom end.
I can see how much you... Love your podcast and
yeah, well,
everything that goes with it.
We're not making that big money yet, so, but no. Okay, episode 50. This is episode 50, and we have watched a doozy, and we're both a little bit tipsy right now, so I think everybody is going to get an uncut version this week, so whatever comes out of our mouth is going to stay in here, maybe minus the ums and the uhs. But other
I'm
than
all
that,
right.
Huh?
I'm all right.
You say that, but I can see it on your face.
You wish.
Yeah. So, okay. But before we do the movie and the review of the movie, we have a would you rather from our patron, Crook, and his see what I mean? His would you rather is as follows. Would you rather be a victim of a new French extremity movie, or would you rather be killed like a victim in a new French extremity movie? So high tension inside, martyrs, frontiers.
Drawn out.
Yeah, but just basically brutal.
Mm-hmm.
Or would you rather be a victim in one of Jigsaw's traps?
With the increase in the amount of time it takes to go through the murder in the first scenario, I would pick that one. Because you have more of a chance of saving yourself. If you're already...
So you would pick...
If you're already in Jigsaw's, like, contraption, whatever
right.
it is.
Right.
You're already done.
Not necessarily.
Well, you have to go through, like, painful things to be done.
Okay, so you'd rather just get killed.
No. I feel like if in the French extremities, you would have a longer window of escaping.
Okay.
That's just facts.
Okay. Yeah, you're drunk.
I'm not, but...
That wasn't coherent at all. Okay, so you would rather have a quicker death, because you say prolonged, but new French extremity horror movies, the deaths are like quick. They're quick and they're brutal.
That's... Play back what you started this conversation with.
I said, would you rather be killed like a victim in a new French extremity movie, or would you rather be a victim of a saw trap?
Okay. Again, in the saw version, you are already in the contraption.
Right.
So something bad is going to happen to you.
Okay.
Regardless.
That part I get.
In a French extremity movie? Are you telling me I'm going in as somebody that could get killed or somebody that's going to get killed?
You are a victim of a new French extremity kill.
But that doesn't give me enough information.
What do you mean it doesn't give you
enough information? Well, we know the kind of crap that Jigsaw does, but we don't know what the...
High Tension is one of your favorite movies. You know how everybody gets killed in there.
But there were multiple ways of escape. So don't, like, label me as, like, they dead didn't... when I have a chance to escape.
No, there's... Okay. You are a victim, regardless of whatever.
I don't like that, though. That doesn't make any sense. Crook, you need to come up with a different one. This doesn't make any sense.
How does it not make sense?
I'm sorry, Crook. I do like you. It's nothing personal. But in this particular scenario, it is way more specific because you know the kind of shit that Jigsaw does to people.
Right.
In French extremities, you don't know if they're going to get a fireplace poker up the hoo-ha. You don't know if you're going to get, like, served a plate of shit.
Okay, here, this is word for word what he asked. Would you rather be in one of Jigsaw's traps or be a victim in a new French extremity movie?
I guess I would have to ask what the types of murder or killing attempts are taking place in the French extremity.
Well, just, I mean, from all the movies that you know, High Tension.
Yeah.
You know, the dad gets his head lopped off by the dresser. The mom gets her neck cut. The guy in the car gets the saw blade.
Okay, so we're going to use that as our, we'll just say we'll use that as the benchmark.
Okay.
Of,
because that's one of your favorites.
Right. I would rather have my head lopped off.
Okay.
A la High Tension, a la
okay.
French Extremity.
Okay.
Then go through one of Jigsaw. I can't do puzzles under stress.
Okay.
But it was funny. I think we were at the antique mall and there was like a little puzzle thing they had to do. And okay. I solved it in my head by myself. It was like a little wooden puzzle.
Okay. You didn't tell anybody about that, so how can we prove it?
Okay, that'd be kind of like an elaborate and psychotic lie to tell people.
Yeah. Kind of like Crook, or not Crook, but Kark thought we were playing the extreme long con.
Yeah.
By saying Magic was a good movie.
Sorry, we recommended a really good movie to a really good friend. Never do that again.
Yeah. We love you guys. You guys are great. You're so nice to everybody being up there in Canada, eh? Walking around in your tuxedos, in your hoose.
Getting their tickets.
I think that one's obscure.
The Degrassi?
Yeah.
So no, I...
Well, not Degrassi itself, but the tickets part.
Well, that's how they pronounce it. They don't say tickets in Canada. Oh, right. They say tickets.
Tickets.
And, like, they don't call, like...
Because a lot of people aren't going to know what you're talking about.
We have the Filet-O-Fish.
Right.
They have the fillet of fish. They call a fillet a fillet.
But that's French. That doesn't make any sense.
You ask them. They're the Canadians.
Okay, Kark and Crook. Is it fillet of fish up there or is it fillet of fish?
And why are people like not accepting my Canadian money? Almost like it's worth less than the American
it money. Is. You have to pay more. On their show, they're always bitching, oh, we want to buy this movie, and it comes out on 4K or, you know, in the Steelbook or whatever, and it's like $95 CAD, Canadian money, which is like, I don't remember the conversion. Theirs is more, so,
yeah.
Or theirs is less, so it would be, I don't know, like $75 American, whatever the conversion rate is, but...
They do, like, if you, and it never fails, anytime that I'm going on eBay looking for something that... I would find a value.
Uh-huh.
You can always find the cheapest and the best version of it, and it's foreign. And on eBay, if it's foreign, they do it in italics.
Oh, right, yeah.
So you know that, you know...
That you're bidding on a foreign...
Right,
at least right. It's from a foreign country, so you're paying the conversion.
Right, and then they do let you know what the price would be. But you're kind of wondering, with foreign money, I don't know... If they all use euros or what, but they still use the pound.
Yeah. I don't think they use the pound in England.
Do they?
I have no idea. Little Ben.
Yeah. That would be a good question for them, actually. Come to think of it. But How the hell are we supposed to know when eBay tells us that it's going to be like 25 pounds? How are we supposed to know?
Didn't you just they do the conversion for you? Just like so many dollars US.
That sounds like work. If I'm on eBay, I want to find something. I want to find it quick. I want to get it quick.
Yeah, but like, they tell you.
Right. And again, all right, I'm just going to stop right there. All right, I'm done.
Everybody gets the uncut version this week. This is basically what you're, if you sign up for our Patreon, this is what you'll get. You'll get all the rigmarole. Do you remember that?
It's rigmarole. You're going to say rigor mortis.
No, rigmarole. But do you remember that whole conversation? I don't remember. I think it was from our Hereditary watch.
You're asking me if I remember. If you don't even remember, how would I remember?
Okay, fine. Fair enough. All right. So that was 11 minutes and 47 seconds of nonsense.
But little Ben, A.
What kind of currency do you use over
there? Do you all use euros? And B, why can't eBay convert pounds into English currency? eBay is an American company. Yeah. So take the little italics off. Basically, just give us the price and then tell us it's going to take like 6 months to be delivered to our house.
Kind of like your sister's pool from China. A 3x9 pool from China.
And Shein and Temu that like to lure you in with all these great deals. Yeah. And then you have to wait like 6 weeks to get your order. See, you get all the excitement of the impulse buy.
Well, right.
And then you got to wait too. For 6 weeks. Yeah. And at the end of the 6 weeks, it's like,
did I order this?
Yeah. Why would I have gotten this?
What do I need with a cabbage stuffy? Oh boy.
Why would I need a new, I don't know. Go ahead.
Like one of those red light masks. Something stupid like that.
Yeah, just idiotic. We had on, I showed you, we were laughing. It was years and years ago, but it was, they showed like contraptions that are useful that you should buy.
Yeah.
And of course, they're all, you know, from Asia. And this okay, so this one was Velcro, right?
Okay.
And you wore an elastic band around your head.
Mm-hmm.
And then you would put all of your remotes and anything important, and you would have Velcro on it.
Why? And you wore it on your head while you were sitting there watching TV?
So you could never lose the remote.
Holy shit. Why not just buy a coffee table?
I know. That's a coffee table book made of coffee tables. Yeah.
Wow. Okay. All right. Oh,
and just so you know, I'm not like blowing smoke here. I have a picture for proof, if anybody wants to see it, that Temu is selling wigs for cats.
I just blew my drink all over me.
No, they are. Here, I'll show you. I ain't blowing smoke.
Okay, well, I believe you. I do.
you'll love it when I show you the proof.
All right, we'll post this on the Instagram, so anybody... All right. Well, okay. With all that being said, really brief message. We are actually no longer part of the Deluxe Edition Network. Not any fault of their own. We just decided to get off of there. But so you won't hear their ads anymore. Still great people. Everybody on that network is awesome. But okay. The movie that we decided to watch for our 50th episode finally is Henry... A Portrait of a Serial Killer. They do actually have wigs for cats. Wow. And it's only $3.28. Silvery gray, one size fits all.
Yeah. How much do you pay for your cat wigs?
Yeah, right.
$3.28 a deal.
Yeah.
And the cat's wearing it. I like how they made the cat, the wig match the color of the fur.
And they got the background the same, a similar color as well. Yeah.
And the cat's like just sitting there like... Kill me now.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's what it would take.
So it says one piece pet headgear, silver, medium, parting, pet wig for dogs and cats.
Oh, for dogs and cats. Gotta have a small dog. Wow.
Maybe for your Chihuahua or Pomeranian.
Boy, okay.
You always wanted a coiffure.
Yeah. So, Henry, Portrait of a Serial Killer from 1986 scores a 7.0 on IMDb. And this is finally our 50th episode. Our second 50th episode, because we had 50 way back then. Anyway, yeah, stars Michael Rooker.
We're not including that?
No, because we erased all those. Those are gone.
Okay.
Gone to, well, there is one platform that still has them for some reason, but yeah, they're gone from everywhere else.
Okay.
Yeah, they're even gone off our hosting platform.
But we still have them.
Well, we have access to them, yeah.
Okay.
They sound like
we just
shit.
Like to see how much better we are.
Oh man, they sound horrible. They are really, really, really bad sounding.
I know. I laughed like all the time. That was really like annoying sounding.
It wasn't even that. It was the sound, because remember, we were using one microphone.
Like we were talking into Campbell's soup can.
Yeah, basically. One microphone at our kitchen table. And it was, yeah.
It wasn't very comfortable. We got our setup now where we're comfortable. We can relax. We
got, yeah, recliners. We got the big TV. It's a gig.
We were sitting at the kitchen table, remember?
Our soundboard is pretty cheap, but I would like one with programmable sounds so we can add our own sound effects.
How much are those?
It depends. I don't know. You can find them. They vary between many and little.
Hmm. That really tells me a lot. Thank you.
Okay. So, yeah, Michael Rooker, Tom Tolles, and nobody else really of any of value. But, so, yes. And this movie is very loosely based on Henry Lee Lucas and Otis Toole, who were...
Otis?
His real name is O-T-T-I-S, which is Otis, not Otis.
But he came from, like, a poor...
Yeah.
And maybe they spelled it.
They could have spelled it wrong. Yeah.
Like our last name.
For the sake of the movie, or for the sake of this, we'll say Otis.
Okay.
Yeah.
And he calls him Otis in the movie.
Yes.
So, yes. All right. That tells us.
So, I believe Otis was from Florida, and Henry was from Alabama, maybe. Some place very country.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, it is loosely based on the killings of Henry Lee Lucas and Otis Toole. They were known as the confession killers because they ended up confessing to like 600 murders. And
what morons. The whole point of being a serial killer is not getting caught so you can have the next kill.
Well, once they were caught.
Oh, then they wanted notoriety.
Well, Henry used
like Ted Bundy.
Not so much Otis, but Henry wanted to, he confessed to killings that because there's no way they killed 600 people, but he confessed to the killings as a way to get like treats in prison. He would get cigarettes from the detectives and the investigators. He would
give them hints, or he would
take them to spots, and some of the spots were his killings, but he was only actually convicted of like one, or he, well, I'm sorry. He was sentenced to death for one killing.
From what I'm told, if you get into prison like that, the first thing you have to do is find yourself a bitch.
You find the biggest guy in there and you punch him.
You make him your bitch.
You punch him in the face. All right. Yes.
It's a movie quote.
Or you're going to be the bitch. So yes, he confessed to all these killings just as a way to get out of prison, get back into the sunlight. He would get treats, you know, cigarettes or whatever. And also, Otis was, or the real Otis Toole, had confessed to the killing of John Walsh, who was Adam Walsh's son, who, you know, America's Most Wanted.
Oh, but really? Is that true in real life?
That is true in real life. However, the cops somehow lost the car, Otis's car, in real life. This is all real life. So
they
life.
Fumbled it. They completely.
So he confessed to the killing of Adam Walsh. And the cops somehow lost basically all the evidence for the whole case.
Sounds like a conspiracy to me.
They lost his car. I don't know how you lose a car.
If you confess, that's like concrete, though. You can't.
Well, no, because, I mean, they both confessed to a whole bunch of killings that they were proven not right. So,
in my opinion, I know that's not how the legal system works, but in my opinion, if you confess to a crime, you're the one that's going to be punished for it. Unless proven otherwise.
So, yeah, nobody knows how many people they actually killed, but Otis did confess to it. They have never proven it.
They did, like, try to, even, like, the killers wanted to sensationalize what they did, because that's why they do it. They do it for what they're going to get, like, the attention. Like, well, at least that was how it was with Ted Bundy, because, like...
Well, there's product killers, and there's...
He was proud of his victims.
He was, yes. But there are product killers, and there's process killers.
But don't you... But they do say that all serial killers, in some way, have... They collect...
Not all of them. A lot of them, yes.
So the ones that I think that collect things from their victims...
Yeah.
They want to make it look like they're proud of what they're doing.
Well, they are. And because, those are product killers.
Right. That's like if you're a hunter, you want to have, you know, 100 antler things yeah, up on your walls. Right. Stuff. And you would want to be known as a great hunter.
Right.
Because of those.
Yeah.
And these collectors, I feel, are doing the same thing.
But I don't think somebody gets into the career of being a killer and with the intent of getting caught.
No, but I don't, maybe, we don't know. I mean, really, I'm not a serial killer. I think you're not. Like, well, I'm like 65% sure you're not.
Mom's the word.
I just think they have a reason. I'm not going to psychoanalyze it.
Right.
But they obviously take pride in what they're doing.
Right. And those are,
and they want others to appreciate what they're doing.
Those are the product killers, the ones that do it for the high. Actually, I'm not sure. But there's a product killer.
Would there be another reason to kill somebody besides the high that you get from killing somebody?
Well, there's some people that, you know, say like Satan drove them to do it, or Jodie Foster drove them to do it, or my neighbor's dog drove them to do it.
So at some point, either you're getting elated or you're getting relief from doing it.
Yeah. And there's a lot of people, like the real life Henry Lee Lucas couldn't have an orgasm unless he was having sex with a dead body.
And that's, who's that? Henry? That's my Henry?
Yeah.
This little orphan Andy. Sorry. Little orphan Annie.
Yeah.
Curly haired Henry.
Yeah.
Who was on JFK?
Well, right. Yeah, he was.
And he was on Walking Dead.
Yes. All right. Yeah. So let's get into the movie now.
That last part you can take out.
All right. So the very beginning of the movie, there is a dead body montage. You see a dead woman laying in a field. She's covered in blood. You see a couple dead store clerks. You see a dead prostitute. Why are we not allowed to call them prostitutes anymore? Why do we have to call them sex workers?
I'll still call them hookers. I don't care.
I would think if you're a sex worker...
If you're prostituting yourself... You better best believe that you're a hooker. Just like if you're dancing naked, you're a stripper, honey. You're not an erotic dancer.
Okay. So there's a dead prostitute, or I guess who we should assume is a call girl, lady hooker of the night, prostitute, hooker. And she's sitting on the toilet. She's half naked. She's got a like Coke bottle broken off and shoved into her face. And there's another woman in a river. Now, all these, as they're showing these dead bodies, there's like underlying sound effects of like the struggle and the fight and everything like that. And it's, I mean, it's not really gratuitous, but it's like, what would the word you'd look? It's like, I guess it's basically like impactful, kind of starting you out really. Because this movie was actually made in 86, but I don't think it came out until 1989 because the critics and the review board and all that stuff thought it was far too like graphic. And I think this actually got like an X rating or at least an NC-17.
It was never on like HBO or Showtime. I can tell you that much.
Oh, probably not. No. So, but yeah, so I think the starting the movie showing the dead bodies is like kind of like you're...
Like jarring.
Yeah. Yeah. You're trying to like jolt the audience into submission or something. Henry Again, he's at a mall and he's watching a woman in a car. Now, this woman, he's literally parked right next to her in the parking lot.
Can you imagine? I mean, these guys that like look at a woman in a car. What's that? What's that about? What I'm kidding. Because all guys look at the people that are in the other car. It was a joke because you were acting like it was so strange.
Well, no, I mean, the way he's looking at her, he's literally parked right next to her and she gets into her car and she doesn't apparently notice him.
Okay, like the guy that winked at me the other day.
I thought you said he waved and...
No, he winked and smiled.
Okay, so what does that have to do with this?
I'm just... You're just saying you notice somebody in a different car and...
Oh, well, you noticed him. Wait, why were you looking at him?
I pulled up to a stop sign, and I always look left and right.
You never look left and right.
Well, it was a red light, not a stop sign. but yeah, you gotta look left and right. Otherwise, you're gonna hit somebody.
When you're going, yes, but not, you're just not, you're like you're talking about like taking in the eye candy.
No, well, you can tell, you know how you can tell when somebody's looking at you?
No.
I just like looked around.
Okay.
And you were looking. He was already looking and winking.
You were looking for a sugar daddy.
I believe he drove a Honda. So.
You drive a Mitsubishi.
So he ain't going to be a sugar daddy. Maybe if it was an Audi or.
Yeah. All right.
Something a little higher on the pay grade.
So, okay.
Yeah, I drive a Mitsubishi. Thank you, hon. That's how they know how much I make and make for a living.
All right. So, okay. He's at the mall. He's eyeballing this woman who's parked literally right next to him. She doesn't notice him, and he ends up following her home. Well, the woman gets home. She goes to the back of her car. She grabs some groceries or whatever out of the back, and her boyfriend or her husband comes out, so he tears off down the road because he's not going to try and like take both of them at once. As he's driving down the road after this woman, he picks up a hitchhiker, a woman. Is hitchhiker still politically correct?
I felt like you wanted to say hitch hooker.
I was,
because you automatically think it's a woman.
No, I know a hitchhiker. I'm a woman
and I need a ride and I'll do anything to have it.
I've seen dirty movies that start that way.
And I believe that.
Yeah. So he picks up a hitchhiker.
A hoochhiker.
On the side of the road. She happens to be carrying a guitar case.
He's looking for some hooch.
The screen cuts off and the scene ends. Otis, now, he picks up, now, okay, we were trying to figure this out, and I listened to a couple podcasts from, you know, the big guys, Time Suck with Dan Cummins and Last Podcast on the Left, and I don't remember if they said Becky was his sister or niece or cousin or whatever. So, in the movie, Becky is Otis's sister. He picks her up from the airport. She's sitting there. She's all kind of forlorn. She's, you know, kind of depressed because she had to leave her house because her boyfriend or husband was abusive. And
you can tell in the movie they're obviously making her the heroine.
Are they, though? I mean, because she, spoiler alert, ends up becoming a victim.
But isn't that, I mean, that happens in a lot of horror movies.
I wouldn't say heroine. I would say maybe like the peacekeeper, like, or like the... Maybe not even Peacekeeper.
The
like,
protagonist?
This is kind of an anti-hero movie.
The movie is Henry Portrait of a Serial Killer, but it's not really from his point of view. So it's kind of like a misnomer, right?
You don't think it's from his point of view?
No.
Well, I mean, it's not from his point of view, but I mean, it's supposed to be like a quote-unquote biopic.
Right, right. And the biopic is about him. I mean, some might think that if it was a biopic movie about him... that it would be from his point of view. And it's not.
So you think it's more from her point of view?
I think it's more from her point of view. And the reason why I do is because women were the victims.
Well, yeah. I mean, most of the killings that he did were women.
And she lived with both of them.
Correct.
So in the whole scenario, what would make for a good movie?
I don't know.
Like in the big picture. The woman that lives with the guys that kill women.
Okay.
I'm just saying. Believe me.
All right. So
I feel like there's a definite formula there that there's
You think so?
I do.
Okay. I never thought of it that way, but.
They make her, if you notice, if the movie was just going to be about Henry and Otis, it would be about Henry and Otis.
Right.
But she is in all of the scenes. Well, like 95% of the scenes.
Well, right. And I mean, she's got the hots for Henry.
Yeah. So this is from her point of view, I think.
Okay. All right.
And I don't, and maybe these, the people that made this movie are really sick and they just want people to like to decide on their own.
Whose point of view
it's from? Whose point of view it is. Yeah.
Man.
Yeah. I can tell you from a woman, from a woman, about a woman, the movie is much more disturbing watching as a woman with her. If it's her point of view, which I think it is, it's disturbing for women.
Well, right. I mean, well, see, again, in real life, she was 14 when her and Henry got together.
But in this movie, she had a kid already.
Yeah, right. And she was married or had a boyfriend or whatever.
At 14?
That she moved. Yeah. So, really, I mean, obviously the movie takes some liberties with the, you know, the actual accounts and whatnot, but.
Well, so this is like what I consider the gold standard of a horror movie. You get Silence of the Lambs.
Right. Well, see, that one I would definitely say is from Clary Starling's point of view.
Right, right, exactly.
Right.
And that, I think, is what made it such a good movie, because the victims were all women.
Right, because Buffalo Bill was killing the women.
Right.
To take their skin.
Right, and do you think a man could have?
I think it would have been, so you're saying women are smarter than men?
No, I'm saying the whole part, like on Silence of the Lambs, where she is talking with Hannibal Lecter.
I don't think a man could have gotten through to Hannibal Lecter, no.
I think that a woman, though, was able to infiltrate.
Well, right, a woman did.
Yeah.
So.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay, all right. I've just never thought of it that way. Fuck the bears. Anyway,
I'm just starting to look at it from like multiple perspectives.
All right. Okay. Fair enough.
Because every good horror movie, and I'm not talking about like meta crap that they put like they did on Scary Movie.
Yeah.
There is a formula. He didn't know what it was. It's not always a virgin who's the heroine on Scream. Sorry.
Yeah.
Scream.
Right.
I get those mixed up.
Yeah, because they steal so much. Yeah,
they're exactly the same, yeah. Pretty much. But there is a formula, and it's not as simple, like I said, it's not as simple as, you know, the virgin survives. In a good horror movie, you have a hero or a protagonist, you have a villain, you have victims.
Right.
And you have vindication.
But is there any vindication in this movie? Because I don't think there is.
Well, maybe there's not.
Because the heroine dies.
Well.
Spoiler alert.
Okay. But this is, I wouldn't want to say, it's not a B movie, but it's not a mainstream.
Oh, no, definitely not mainstream.
And that's why.
This is one of those kind of movies that, like.
Well, they stray from. Like I said, they stray from the formula.
But again, this is, it's like, this is supposed to be like a real life movie. Not like a.
Right.
Or it's supposed to be. Real life, but like based off true events kind of thing.
But when people go to the movies, they see a horror movie, they're expecting a certain progression of events. That's why I am when I watch a movie.
And maybe that's why this one took so long to come out. What was
that sucky ass fucking movie that we watched when we had our date night in Lansing? It was a sequel to a sequel to a sequel. What was it?
Dead Evil Rise? Or Evil Dead Rise?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And when I think that there's movies out here and this is like low budget and that movies like that get out into the theaters, that pisses me off.
We should have just taken a nap instead of leaving.
During the movie?
Yeah. I mean, I slept during Lincoln.
I'm not going to take a nap. If I'm going to sleep, I'm going to be sleeping in the hotel, bud. I'm going to be sleeping in the... they didn't even serve booze at that...
Celebration?
Yeah.
I think we got there too late.
So what would be the point in staying and watching a sucky ass?
To take a nap.
Fucking movie.
At least you got the reclining seats. All right. Okay. So Otis picks up his sister Becky from the hospital. Or not the hospital, I'm sorry. Otis picks up his sister Becky from the airport. And she's only got two bags. She's got this giant-ass suitcase, and she's got this paper bag with handles sitting next to her. Otis gets up. He grabs the paper bag and leaves the giant-ass suitcase for Becky to take with her. And that's basically like Otis in a nutshell.
Yeah.
Now, the real-life Otis was like flaming homosexual. He would very proudly wear dresses and go to bars.
What I don't understand about this. They obviously made this like, they whitewashed it.
Well, okay, but they did a little bit. But I mean, again, this is more about Henry than Otis. Now, he does hit on a couple.
It says you're supposed to think it's more about Henry. But do you notice how much time they spend on the whole Otis plotline?
About 50-50, but they were together for a long time.
Right. So why isn't it Henry and Otis, portrait of serial killers?
Because that's not fun. Otis was just kind of a second player in the whole thing.
Did he have a comb over in real life?
Well, you saw the picture.
I think he did. They looked alike in the pictures you showed me.
He was not an attractive man by even troll standards. Anyway.
Who is a troll?
Huh?
What is a troll?
A troll. You know what a fucking troll is. A troll.
There's a lot of different definitions. Can you tell me?
What a troll is. Any kind of troll. Like the fucking troll from Labyrinth. Ugly, bumpy, nasty. He was fucking hideous. So anyway. All right. Why are you going to derail everything like that?
You did the same to me. Just getting you back.
So, okay, yes. Otis comes in. He picks up Becky from the airport. He takes the paper bag, leaves the giant suitcase with her. Henry comes in now. They're back at their apartment. He comes in with the guitar case that he picked up from the hitchhiker earlier. Of course, the hitchhiker is nowhere to be found, but Henry just mysteriously has this new guitar and case. He gives it to Otis. Otis starts playing, blah, blah, blah. Henry is an exterminator. He goes back to the mall, He goes back to the mall woman's house. He ends up talking his way into her house, and then they do like a brief scene, like the camera pans around. Henry leaves. The camera pans around to this woman. She's sitting on a couch, and lo and behold, she's actually dead. She's got like cigarette burns on her. She's got an extension cord or an electrical cord wrapped around her neck. So he obviously killed this woman as well. Otis is a gas Otis is a gas station. Fucking shit. Otis.
Yeah, I'm sure you'll edit that out.
I said I'm leaving it
all.
You
better leave out all of the times I looked like a complete boob.
Otis is a gas station attendant, and apparently he's also a drug salesman. Now, one of the kids, I guess maybe a high schooler or something, comes up to Otis and he says, you know, like, hey, you know, I want to buy this drugs from you, whatever it is.
Is he selling?
I think it was just weed, but
skunk weed. If he also has to be a gas station attendant.
Probably. I don't know where he would get good weed from. So then we cut back to Henry and Becky. They are eating dinner at their apartment, and Becky starts telling Henry about how she left an abusive boyfriend or husband, talking about how she left her kid behind from, I don't know if they ever say where she was from, but she left her daughter behind. She left her boyfriend behind, and she just had to get out of the, you know, the area for a while. And she brings up about how Otis earlier had told Becky about how Henry had killed his mom. And she asks him if it was true. Now, in real life, Henry's mom was an abusive, just pardon my French, not really. She was just a cunt. She was an evil, abusive woman. She would prostitute herself for like 10 cents or 50 cents to all these guys in the mountain areas.
What you're saying is that you don't think that she was a very good woman.
No, not at all. She would make Henry watch her have sex with these men. She would beat him with a broom handle. She would this woman was nasty. So, and then actually when he was a kid, they forced him to live in a chicken coop. So he actually lived and slept in a chicken coop, and he stunk like, you know, chicken shit. And he went to school and the kids all made fun of him. And
this is Henry.
This is Henry in real life. So he stunk like chicken shit. He stunk like chicken feathers and chicken feed and whatever. And what ended up happening is one of the teachers, ended up telling the mother that Henry needed to bathe. So what she did was actually take him down to the local watering hole. No, not watering hole. That's the bar. The local like stream or lake or pond or whatever.
That guy.
Huh? Yeah, this is Henry, Portrait of a Serial Killer, too.
That guy is the guy from Seinfeld. The movie pirate.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. We just finished watching Henry 1. Oh, yeah, it is. Okay. The original Henry, and then, yeah, Henry 2 just popped up.
Yeah,
and
I don't think so.
I don't know.
I can't watch this. This is like.
But
I only watch high like quality movies.
High quality smut.
Yeah.
So anyway, what ends up happening, again, this is real life. She takes him down to the pond or the stream. She washes him up, probably with lye soap, so it probably burned. And then in order to make him stay unstinky, she actually put him in a dress and sent him to school. And of course, so now the kids weren't making fun of him for stinking. They're making fun of him for wearing a dress. And obviously, yeah, the trauma that followed, blah, blah, blah. So in real life, he killed his mom. Henry ended up meeting a woman and he proposed to her. They were engaged to be married. And the mother found out, this was right after Henry got out of prison. They were engaged to be married, and I think he actually met her like in one of those pen pal things. And so he was engaged to this woman. The mother found out that he had gotten out of prison.
Engaged to this woman, and the mother found out.
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
Yes. So the mother finds out. She finds them at a bar, ends up beating Henry in the bar, then attacks the fiance, and in retaliation, Henry followed the mother. And he ended up somehow, like he had a pocket knife, he punched at her, he ended up sticking her in the neck with the knife. Of course he says he didn't intend on killing her, but he stuck her in the neck with a knife, ended up hitting the main artery, and she bled out and died. So he's finally free of her. So now back to the movie.
Dead air.
Yeah. The silence will be cut out. But, okay, so, yes, Becky is obviously very sweet on Henry, and Otis is acting like a pig. Becky finds a shirt. She found the shirt that says, "I love Chicago," and I got a sneeze.
Whose shirt was that?
I think she bought it.
You said she found it.
She bought a shirt that says, "I love Chicago." She shows the boys, Henry and Otis.
See, you didn't have to sneeze.
I didn't have to sneeze. It felt like I had to sneeze. She buys this shirt that says, "I love Chicago."
I'll tell you when you have to sneeze. Kidding.
You do that. I like being dominated every now and again.
I know you do.
So Otis tells her to put this t-shirt on. And rather than leaving the room to put this t-shirt on, she decides she's going to change in front of the guys. And she has them spin around, you know, like turn their heads away so they can't see her. She puts the shirt on. Otis tries to take a peek at his sister while she's changing.
You will never have an experience where you are a girl and you have brothers.
Okay.
If
yeah, I hope not. Not at this point.
If you're going to change your shirt, he's not going to be in the room. She would leave the room.
Well, that's what I'm saying. She didn't leave. I don't know why she just didn't leave.
I don't know what kind of family they have. I think I had kind of like the normal all-American family.
Well, okay, which, like we said earlier, Otis in real life was a flaming homosexual.
Right, like, right, right.
He would wear dresses and actually go out to bars and pick up guys.
And she then probably, the guys, if this was real, like she really did this, she wouldn't have a problem doing that in front of him.
I don't think so.
But Henry.
Henry actually did like her.
Maybe she did that on purpose then.
To
tantalize.
I don't know. I don't know.
Slut.
I have no idea. But again, in real life, she was only 14 when they met.
Yeah, that's just gross.
So, yeah, Otis tries to take a peek. Henry gets all pissed off and ends kind of like, you know, fucking Otis knocked that shit off and ends that immediately. Henry and Otis, they go for a beer, quote unquote, a.k.a. pick up hookers to kill. They're having sex with these women in the back of...
They're sex workers, hon.
Oh, I'm sorry. They're having intimate relations. They're having intimate relations with the sex workers in the back of Otis's car. Mm-mm. No?
Intimate relations? That's not PC.
What is PC?
Well, you're just assuming that it's intimate.
Oh, okay.
And it's
not. So they're having sexual relations?
Conjugal.
Conjugal just means jail.
No, it doesn't.
Oh?
Look it up.
I'm not gonna. Okay, all right, fine. Google to the rescue. Of course, the last time we asked Google a question, we asked them what the id was. It said,
yeah.
Idiot is blah, 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 blah. What is conjugal?
Here's the definition of conjugal, relating to marriage or the relationship of a married couple.
So it wasn't conjugal.
Right.
You said it. No, it says of or relating to the marriage or relationship of a married couple. So it wasn't conjugal. Conjugal is not the right word.
Okay. Yeah, I guess you're right.
Yeah. They're just having, they're fucking in the car. And
that is so absurd.
Henry ends up killing one of them and Otis freaks out and the other sex worker that Otis is with freaks out. So Henry kills that one too. They drag the bodies out. They put them in an alley or whatever.
Now you're still riding high on you winning that argument. I can see it in your face. You brightened up the second that you found out that that you won that argument.
I'm not.
You're like riding high on life. I could tell.
You're making a bigger deal of it than I am. Becky finds a job as a shampoo girl at a salon.
Wow, what a time to be alive. You made a revelation.
Becky finds a job as a shampoo girl at a salon. Oh,
why'd you turn your hat back around?
Because.
You know how I like it, though.
Woman. Yeah. So, okay. Becky gets a job as a shampoo girl at a salon. Otis is watching TV at the house or the apartment. He can't get it to focus. Now, we're talking old VHS, UHF, or not VHS, but UHF TV. Tube TV. Can't get the thing in focus. The screen's blipping. The screen, everything's fucked
up. Rabbit ears.
Rabbit ears with the foil. Nothing's working. He ends up kicking the screen out of the TV. Him and Henry go to this black market, like back alley, like in a warehouse looking garage door selling like
TV. We get the picture.
Yeah. TV repairman. Or not TV repairman. TV salesman. And they're talking to this guy, and this whole scene, I don't know, for me is like one of the grossest scene in the movie. I don't know why, for me it is. They're talking to this guy and they ask him, hey, like, what do you have for $50? And the guy says, well, I got black and white for $50. I got this for, you know, for color. And he says, well, okay, what about this? And he says, well, no, I can't afford that. And the guy just kind of like flips a switch on him. He's like, you guys come in here, you're wasting my time. You asked me for this, you asked me for that, and all you got is a lousy $50. You should have stopped me a long time ago and just stuck with the black and white TV. And Henry kind of like, I don't know, Henry snaps because the guy calls him, or what did he say? You got shit in your ears or something like that.
Yeah,
or mud in your ears. So Henry snaps and stabs the guy to death. Otis takes an electrical cord, wraps it around the guy's neck, strangles him, and then they smash a TV onto his head, a la Stu from Scream, we'll bring Scream up again. I'll ask Stu.
What's that?
That's how he ended up dying.
The TV?
Yeah. They threw the TV on him. Oh, I heard that one.
Sorry. I have GERD.
So what can I do for you, gentlemen?
Oh, it's hot in here, isn't it?
I've got a cold.
We want TV.
How much you got to spend?
What do you got? $50.
Can let you have the set over there for $50.
Well, turn it on. We'll see if it works.
What's the matter? Don't you trust me?
Uh-uh.
Here, plug it in down there.
Here?
Yeah, down there. Real good. I see you've had some college. Yeah, like you can see, it works real good. Just takes a while to warm up.
It's black and white.
Of course it's black and white. What do you expect for $50? Fucking 3D, for Christ's sake?
Well, how much is color? We want color.
You can't get color for $50.
That's okay. Let's see what you got.
What have I got? You want cable ready? You want remote control? You want UHF? You want 13-inch? You want 19-inch? I bet you'd like to have a 19-inch. You want Sony? You want Zenith? You want a Gold Star?
Oh, what can we get for $150?
He'd let you have this set for $150. It's worth $300. But here, take a look at this. For an extra $75, you can take this $600 set.
What's this?
It's a camcorder.
What?
It's a videotape recorder and camera rolled into one. You just pop in a cassette and you're ready to go.
You can make your own movies with that?
What else would you do with it?
How much you want for it?
It's worth $1,000. I'd take half.
$500?
Yeah. Half of $1,000 is $500.
That's a little more than we were planning to spend. I think we should just take the TV.
Okay. Which one do you want?
The $50 one.
The $50 one. You guys come in here, I show you this, I show you that. You creeps got a lousy $50 to spend? You should have stopped me a long time ago. Take the $50 set and get the hell out. I'm a busy man.
Well, we were really counting on a color set.
What's the matter? You got shit in your ears? The black and white is $50. Take it or leave it.
Sorry we wasted your time. Come on, Otis.
Don't give me sorry, you dumbass. Did I stutter? Give me the $50 and get out!
I'll give you... Otis, plug it in.
So they end up taking a color TV and they end up taking a camcorder that the guy had also showed them.
Did you notice on this, that's Kate Walsh, that's the and the Grey's Anatomy, the redhead?
Yeah, I noticed, yeah, through the opening credits.
Oh, well, aren't you special? Let's erect a statue in your name because you were just one to catch that.
Conjugal and Kate Walsh.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
So Otis is back to selling weed.
Harvard's coming knocking.
Otis is back to selling weed and he pulls up to the high school. He's parked in the high school parking lot and the kid comes in with the same kid that he was talking to at the gas station earlier. So he comes in, Otis gives him the money or gives him the drugs, and then Otis puts his hand on the kid's leg. And the kid hauls off and punches him in the face. And Otis gets all pissed off, like, you know, what the fuck? Why would you?
Yeah, why would a kid not want my hand on his leg?
Yeah. So he tells Henry, he goes back to the apartment. He's nursing his bloody nose. And he tells Henry, hey, I'd like to kill somebody. He says, I want to kill that kid. But he says, you can't do that, Otis, because people saw you together. So
Henry is kind of like qualming the instincts that Otis is having,
right?
At the same time, wanting, well,
he's like nursing it, but he's also like, right, like you said, he's like trying to like, right, crush it or put it down.
But you can tell that he's just kind of like he's saying what he thinks he should say, but right, he really wants them to go along with.
Yeah, well, good, right, because he wants. I mean, Henry wants to kill, but I think he's like.
Well, it's kind of like Otis wanted to be with his sister and Henry said no.
Well, right. Yeah.
And now this is the same thing in reverse. So they have that kind of relationship.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So they're kind of like bouncing off of each other. So Otis says he wants to kill the kid. Henry says no, because somebody, you know, people have seen you together. Then he says, okay, fine. I just want to kill anybody. So Henry tells him, okay, you know, say that again. And Otis says, well, I want to kill somebody. So they drive off and they go to this like underpass in, you know, Chicago. It's like under the expressway or whatever. And they pull off to the side. They pop the hood of their car. And Otis has a gun. Guy pulls up, asks him if they need help. Otis just shoots him. Bang, bang, dead. You know, they drive off and leave him.
Remote. Go ahead. Sorry.
In the next scene, Henry is telling Otis how not to get caught for killing. And basically he's saying, you know, like some people you stab, some people you shoot. Some people, you know, you can, you know, strangle or whatever. And Otis says, well, like, you know, what if I want to shoot everybody? And Henry says, well, you can shoot everybody, you know, if you want to, but he says, just use a different gun each time you do it, find a different gun. And
No. We watch Sons of Anarchy. It doesn't matter. You have to scrape off the serial number. You can't just use a different gun every time.
Scrape off the serial number, and it's a federal crime. Well, not that murder isn't, but if you have a different gun for each murder.
I love how exciting you are.
Well, because I listen to podcasts about.
Yeah, you're wearing your sexy pajamas, and you're like getting all passionate about something.
I've got my satin pajamas on. No, because I listen to the other podcasts, and this actually happened. Mm-hmm. Again, this we'll go back to the real life thing. Henry was incarcerated in Jackson Prison, in Michigan. And
really, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I told you that.
You probably did. Sorry.
So yeah, Henry was incarcerated in Jackson Prison, Michigan. And and then when he was released, he went back in to actually Ionia. Mental institution, whatever, also in Michigan.
Yeah.
Both about an hour away from where we live.
Ionia is kind of where you work.
It is very close to where I live, yes.
work, not live.
Or yes, I'm sorry, work, yes. I work in Ionia. But anyway, so...
Oh, you got another house there? Got another house, another wife?
Just
another
trailer. Just a trailer. While Henry,
that's why we never have any money.
yeah, that's the only reason.
The other family needs food and shelter.
It's actually the hookers
and utilities.
It's the hookers I'm buying on a regular.
Oh my gosh, you have to buy hookers.
Yeah,
that is so.
So anyway,
you got me right here.
What would I want with you?
Fuck you, motherfucker.
So, okay. When Henry was incarcerated in Ionia Mental Hospital, he actually had access to the case files of all the other, like, inmates.
You have a bubble in your throat.
I did. I just cleared it.
Yeah.
So he had access to all the case files of all these other inmates.
I'm not holding back now.
And this is where he actually learned. Basically, he read the case files of all these other inmates and discovered how they got caught. And that's where he figured out that if you kill somebody with a knife, if you kill somebody with a gun, if you strangle somebody, if you rape some, if you steal from some, if you leave some alone.
Any way that you kill somebody is wrong.
He didn't care about the wrong part of it. He wanted to know what to do to not get caught. So he said, you move around a lot, you kill people different ways each time. And basically this is exactly what he's telling to Otis in this scene. Now we'll go back to the movie. So they do a home invasion. Now keep in mind that they got the camcorder from the dead TV guy, the dead TV sales guy, and they are videotaping or camcording.
Mm-hmm.
What do you call that?
It was camcorder. Back then it was camcording.
Camcording. So they are camcording this whole scene. Because we never had one. So, it's because your dad worked for Ford and your mom was a nurse. So anyway, they are camcording.
Your dad had his own business and your mom worked for a bank. That's just as good.
She didn't take money from the bank. We've never had the same.
My mom didn't take money being a nurse.
Well, anyway, cranberry and vodka. So yeah, they're camcording this whole scene. Otis is on a chair. He's got this woman. He's like fucking around with her. Pulls up her dress.
You had skids.
You had Z-calves.
Yeah, that my ex-sister-in-law left in the bedroom when she left back for Utah.
Skids were cheap.
They were not.
They're expensive as fuck now.
They were expensive back then.
That's what you should get me for our anniversary, is a pair of skids overalls.
Is that what you want?
I don't know. I've never had them, but I always wanted them.
You want the overalls so you can wear one strap down.
I don't think I'm cool enough to pull that off. I wouldn't have been cool enough back then to pull that off.
I agree.
What do you mean you agree? So anyway.
Okay. I'll get you some acid wash jeans that you can tightrope. Or tightrope.
So they're recording this whole scene. Otis is fucking with this woman. He's pulling up her dress. He's pulling out her boob. He's raping her, sexually assaulting her. And as they're doing this, Henry is punching and kicking the dad who's laying on the ground, and the son comes in. Henry hops up real quick, tackles the son, ends up snapping the kid's neck. And I think he ends up stabbing the dad to death. And then Otis breaks the mother's neck. And as soon as he's done, or as soon as he kills the mom, he attempts to have sex with the corpse. And Henry, again, this is one of those situations like sex with a corpse. Oh, that's too far kind of thing. So Henry puts an end to that. They go back to the apartment again. They are watching and rewatching the crime scene that just took place. And then they leave. They go out for a drive. Now, this is one of those little comic relief places. They're driving down the road. Henry's driving. Otis is hanging out the window with the camcorder. What?
I'm just listening.
I had a look of disdain on your face.
No, I was just listening to you.
Okay. So they're driving down the road through the city of Chicago. Otis is hanging out the side window, and he's recording these women on the street. And he's like, oh, look at that one. That one's got legs up to nowhere, and whatever the hell he's saying.
Creepy pervert.
And yeah, because that's the creepy part. So at some point, I don't know if Henry got irritated with Otis or if it was
How could he not?
I don't know. The point I'm trying to get at is, did Henry drive the camera into a parked car on purpose, or was he just like just to get back at Otis, or did he do it on accident?
I think he definitely did it to get back.
You think so?
Yeah.
Because he was tired of the...
Yeah, he was tired of all the crap.
Yeah.
He was done with it.
So, yeah. So as they're driving down the road, Henry hits a parked car or a bus or something and completely destroys the camcorder. Otis comes back into the car and he's like, oh man, look what you did to the damn camcorder thing.
Those camcorders were like $500 back then.
Back then. Well, even the black market dude said it was worth $750.
Yeah.
And that was black market.
And we got one, what was it? It was 1990.
Would have been probably early 90s.
93?
Yeah, had to have been early
93, 90s. 92. We got ours.
I don't think. I'm trying to think of when we. Yeah, I have no idea when.
I know
when for our California trip. So
when we lived in Canton, I only lived there from 78 to 88. But I remember our friend down the street who had a pool. Of course, we befriended him. that they had actually.
Wait, who is this man whore?
Yeah. He's Scotty Condor, and they actually...
Wait a second. Wasn't that your first kiss?
Yeah, it was.
You slut.
Anywho.
So not only did you befriend him for his pool, but you also befriended him for his body.
No, I was 5 years old.
And you kissed him?
Yeah.
I have a totally different opinion of you now.
Sorry. I'm sorry. So we went, we were over at his house. I think it was for a birthday or something. And we went in the pool, and then we got out of the pool, and the mom, they had a video camera, and everything that we did was being recorded, and we just thought that was the coolest thing on the planet.
So you used him for his pool, his body, and you're making sex tapes?
Oh my gosh. He had curly blonde hair.
Do you want me to leave so you can be alone with yourself?
I was five.
Okay. So Becky decides she wants to go home. Back to her boyfriend and her daughter. She invites Henry to go along with him. Becky and Henry go to dinner together. They come back and Otis is passed out. Henry and Becky start to kind of get frisky. They go into the bedroom and Henry is acting.
Do we know if this actually happened in real life with her being 14?
They were married. They married.
Henry and her?
Yeah.
Ugh, okay.
I don't know if they were married, but they were definitely together.
Like a Jerry Lee Lewis.
Yeah, to a point. Because at one point they actually moved in with a couple that were church couple. And they stayed there. And apparently this couple was fine with the fact that she was 14 and he was whatever age he was, older than her. And so
back then they didn't even, men ran the house.
Well,
they could decide what kind of woman they wanted.
Yeah, but even still, I mean, there's still like an age difference, like the gap and the whole.
They didn't recognize that in like Alabama or Kentucky.
I don't remember where that took place in. So, but yeah, in real life, they were together as a couple. So back to the movie, Henry ends up going out for smokes because Otis wakes up and he kind of puts the kibosh on them getting together. And he goes for smokes. The one guy's, he goes to the little convenience store, or convenience store for everybody not in Michigan, a party store for the people in Michigan. And the guy's talking to him, you know, talking to Henry. He says, "Hey, how about them Bears?" And Henry just kind of quips back, "Yeah, fuck the Bears. You know, who cares about the Bears?" So he goes back. He meets a woman on the street who's got a Pomeranian Shih Tzu or something like that.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, just a little pipsqueak dog. And he comes back, and Otis is raping Becky. Otis is raping Becky. Henry, obviously, starts beating up on Otis, punches him, kicks him, gets him off of her.
Don't you kind of feel like this movie makes Henry look like a hero?
Well, that's what I was saying earlier. It's like an anti-hero movie. I mean, he's the bad guy, but like he's the
Yeah, but good the people guy. That made this movie want us to like him.
He's not. Well, only in this scene. Only because he stopped the rape.
All right, carry on.
So, Becky ends up grabbing a rat tail comb that she had in her purse. I only know it's called a rat tail comb because Nancy at one time was a cosmetologist, and she sticks Otis.
How else are you going to do foils?
I tried so hard. I did it for you. I did it for Gabby. I was not good at it. I could pull you through a cap, though.
You did pull me through a cap.
I was good at that.
Thank you for that.
So
back when I had hair. I know.
Yeah. So, yeah, Becky ends up sticking Otis in the eye with this rat tail comb, punctures his eyeball. He's bleeding and leaking all over the place. Henry grabs the rat tail comb from Becky, ends up stabbing Otis. And then he takes Otis into the bathroom, cuts his head off, cuts his arms off, and puts him into trash bags. Becky and Henry end up leaving town. They dump Otis in the river. They end up staying the night at a hotel. They're planning on driving to California, where apparently Henry has a sister or a niece or an aunt or something that has like a horse farm or whatever. They stay at a motel for the night. Henry wakes up in the morning and he leaves by himself. So we only have to assume, because they never showed it, that Henry killed Becky. And then Henry drives off. He stops at the side of the road. He dumps a bloody suitcase on the road and then drives off again. Credits roll. This has been a very long episode. This is our 50th episode. So we think we owe it to you guys. We
to give you 50 minutes worth of episode.
115 minutes. Or an hour and 15 minutes. Hey, I'm sorry.
Edit it down.
I'll take out some of the silences. That'll remove about 3 minutes. But, okay, so what do you put this on the gore score?
Gore score?
Yeah.
The sexual scenes were ick.
Okay.
And I count that towards gore.
I think that's fair.
I would put it at a 5.
Only a 5?
Only a 5.
Okay. All right. And then your overall score. What do you give this overall?
Well, I've known about this movie for a long time.
Do you remember the first time we watched it?
We were teenagers.
Yeah. Do you remember where?
Yeah, at my mom and dad's house.
Jeremy's house.
Was it Jeremy? No, it wasn't his house.
Yeah. Or Jeremy's mom's, yeah.
Oh, were we skipping school that day?
Of course.
Okay, yeah, okay. It was so cool. We could smoke in the house. Yeah.
But yeah, that's the first time we saw it. That was back in like late 96 or mid 96.
Yeah. Overall score. It's not something that I say that we need to watch again too often.
No.
So I'll give it a 4.
A 4?
Yeah.
So just under average?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's fair. I mean, we've seen it, what, 3-4 times maybe?
Yeah, it's total. One of those movies you really don't have to see twice.
No, not really. I mean, it's...
Unless it's nostalgic, nostalgic for us because we watched it when we were dating.
Is this one of those movies you would recommend to somebody who hasn't seen it to at least see it once?
No.
Not even if they were a horror fan?
No.
No?
No.
Okay.
That's just my opinion.
All right.
I have different standards, I guess.
Yeah. No, that's fine. That's fine.
I mean, that's why I didn't go mainstream.
Mainstream.
Like, it wasn't... I consider mainstream when it got on HBO, Showtime, Cinemax, the movie channel. It wasn't on any of those.
TCM? Is that still a thing anymore? TCM? Or TMC?
The movie channel?
Yeah, what is the movie channel?
It was just like Showtime.
Oh, okay.
You could get, there was two packages. There was HBO and Cinemax.
Yeah.
Or you could get HBO and Showtime.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Showtime and
the movie channel. Okay. Which is odd because both HBO and Showtime do nothing but show movies. Or at least they did back then.
Back in the day, Showtime and Cinemax were the ones that played the naughty movies. Yeah. After Dark.
Yeah, we tried looking that up recently. There is no Skinemax anymore.
Yeah. Yeah.
Much to Nancy's chagrin.
Oh, yeah. Like, you didn't love Red Shoe Diaries on HBO.
That was on Showtime, wasn't it?
Was it?
I think so.
We watched it on our honeymoon.
Yeah. All right. All right. Okay. I'm going to go a little higher than you on both. I'm going to do a 7 on the gore score.
Bet you would, Panama Red.
I'm going to go a 7. Damn it. I'm going to go a 7 on the gore score. I mean, because it's not the gore is realistic, but it's not gratuitous and it's not plentiful.
It's not existent. I don't even remember a gore scene.
You got the hooker with the bottle in her mouth. You got the dead bodies in the very beginning. You got the TV guy. You got the guy that gets shot. You got Otis getting stabbed in the eye. But they're all really quick. So I'm going to do a 7 on the gore score.
7? That's pretty high.
Not really.
It is pretty high.
Bet you would have to... Bet.
I would disagree.
What the hell would you say? Bet you would, Panama Red? Whatever. And then I think overall, I'm also going to go a little higher than you. I'm going to do a 6 on that one. It's one of those movies, like you said, it doesn't have to be watched like over and over again, but it's one of those movies that if you haven't seen it, it's like, you know, check this box kind of movie. Watch it to see it. It's not something
then you have to watch. Then why would you have to go over my score? Again.
Because I think it's...
Because that's the same thing that...
Well, I'm basing mine on taste. You base on yours whether you watch it again.
But it would be at the same level, though, what you're saying.
I don't think so.
I think it would.
I don't argue with your scores.
You kind of did.
I didn't.
I think you did.
I think you're wrong. So anyway... No, I didn't argue with your score. I've learned to not argue with your score. I don't know how you score. Your scores are like, woo, all over the place.
I score from the heart.
And that's what gets you into trouble. Are you looking at my Snickers?
Snickers?
Yeah.
Nah.
So, yeah, I would say, yeah. What did I say? A 7 on the gore score and a, what did I say? 6 overall? 6 overall. I don't even remember. But, okay. We are, Ben and Nancy, we are Extreme Horror Replay. You can find us on Instagram at @XHR_podcast. And we do have a Patreon at www.patreon.com/XHR podcast. And we have a Teespring, TeePublic. I always do that. It's TeePublic. We used to use Teespring, and now we use TeePublic. TeePublic. Find everything on the link tree, in the bio, on Instagram. Call it a day. Please rate and review us on Spotify or iTunes. And I don't know, just tell a friend, because damn it, we have fun doing this. As you can tell, this episode, again, will be completely uncut, except for just a... No, this episode will be completely uncut. You're going to get all the bullshit, all the screw-ups. Who cares if they
give their name, our name to a friend or not? I don't care. Do you care? We're doing this because we like it.
Yeah, but I mean, they can share it with a friend.
They
can share.
I'm not gonna tell, okay. Ask them to.
Share this with a friend. Share this with somebody you hate. Let's put it that way. I don't know. Whatever. Thank you all for listening. Thank you, Kark and Crook, for being our patrons. And everybody else, yeah, have a good day. Happy New Year and shit. So be good to one another and stay safe. Are you going to say anything today?
No.
All right. We'll talk to y'all next week. Take care. Bye.
Bye.
Wait.
Bye. I don't know why. We'll see ya. You want to say something now?
You're such an asshole.
How about this one? Do I?
Okay, how about this one? No? Nancy, I'm coming to haunt your dreams. Sound effects are fun.
Didn't I sound like Freddy Krueger, though?
A little bit, yeah.
How about the kid voice model?
This is not even...
Alright. We'll talk to all of you later. Far too drunk to do this. Here we are. What?
I said you are.
Oh, shit. Bye.